Welcome to our Sukkot teaching. Please be patient with our computer-generated text. Be in God's shalom and be at peace. Isaiah 26:3-4 NKJV says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever." This is a great verse that teaches us to trust in God. The word peace in this verse is the Hebrew word shalom.
Strong's dictionary says that shalom means, well, happy, friendly, also, abstractly, welfare, i.e., health, prosperity, peace.
How do we trust in God? For some, they think that merely saying they trust in God is trusting in God. That makes no sense. When we trust someone, we believe in what they say and we act accordingly. For example, I had a lawyer who was in the same business that I was in. He knew how to properly handle all the situations I would encounter. I trusted in what he had to say and did what he told me I should do. What about God? He is the Creator and knows how we should live. Trusting in God means we follow His directions for life. Just like the automobile manufacturer gives us a manual for the car we drive so we can use all its functions, we follow the manual's directions so we are able to operate the lights, windshield washers, etc. Follow God, He knows what is best for mankind and has our best interests at heart. The Hebrew word for peace can also mean happy. Being happy in life is important. I often pray for peace in my family and the other things of life. We need to pray for God's help and leave things in His hand. Do not let your thoughts get out of control. Having peace in life and a good relationship with God is important for a happy life. Psalm 1 gives us good instructions for life. Psalm 1 NKJV says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Happy is the person who does not listen to those who do what is wrong or evil. Since God knows what is best for us, not following God's commandments brings evil into the world. Those that sin are proud and do things their own way and often mock others. Instead, the blessed person is satisfied by God's laws and takes the time to learn them and do them. The person who learns God's commandments and does them can have a good life and can be successful. The life of those who do not listen to God end up acting out all sorts of wrong behaviors. They do not know how to live right. They essentially follow their own way or the ways of the world and they brainwash themselves into believing they are right. God knows those who do what is right and is with them. Those who do not listen to God often receive the consequences of their wrong behaviors in life and will most certainly end up with consequences at the time of God's judgment. In order for God to be just, God must properly judge those who live in sin, and those who do not repent of their behaviors and not are sorry for what they did. For example, those who commit murder and bring terrible pain on the victims and their families will not go unpunished by God. Romans 2:5-6 NKJV says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Shaul says that those who live a life of sin will be punished by God. Stay in God's ways, it is not complicated. If you are keeping Sukkot, it is not as complicated as some make it out to be. We are to celebrate before God with nice branches from three species of trees and some nice fruit. If we do not live in Israel, we do not have the same species of trees and fruit. So, we should pick some nice branches and fruit from our area or the store. We do not have to order something special like a lulav. Those that sell lulavs are just out to make money, but you can buy one if you want. It might be a good idea to plant some trees on your property that you can use for Sukkot. When the Bible was written, they knew the types of trees and fruit available. We should be filled with joy during Sukkot for all God has created and given us. We are to be grateful for God's commandments, for what God has provided for us in life, for what God has given us that has come from the earth, and for God's gift of the Holy Spirit that comes through the Messiah Yeshua. There are added rituals by some that are not necessary. There are some rituals that I look forward to every year. Ritual is part of life, but some ritual is not commanded by God. For believers in Yeshua, it is not necessary to build a sukkah and live in it, but you can do that if you want. The Bible commands those who live in Israel to live in a sukkah during Sukkot. Living in a sukkah is to remind us of the time Israel lived in the wilderness for 40 years and all they experienced, including the presence of God every day with a cloud over the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, during the day and the Shekinah glory of God as a light at night. Yochanan refers to Yeshua being the presence of God when he says that Yeshua tabernacled among us. Tabernacled refers to the tent of meeting in the desert with the manifestation of the Shekinah light over the tent of meeting. Yochanan refers to Yeshua as light several times in the Gospel of John. Yochanan is not saying Yeshua was born on Sukkot, but that the presence of God was among us just as the presence of God was among Israel in the desert as the Shekinah glory. Some believe Yeshua was born on Sukkot because the Bible says about Yeshua in John 1:14 NKJV, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word dwelt is the word for tabernacle. So, they say this refers to Yeshua being born on the Feast of Tabernacles and not the tabernacle in the wilderness where there were physical evidences of the presence of God in the form of a cloud by day and fire by night over the tabernacle. First, we should understand that the Bible clearly says that Messiah would be God and not just an ordinary man or prophet. Jeremiah 23:5 NKJV says, "I will raise to David a branch of righteousness." Then Jeremiah 23:6 NKJV says, "Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Yehovah Zkeno." The word for Lord in Jeremiah 23:6 is Yehovah and is the exclusive name for God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. The Messiah was a descendant of David and was the presence of God on earth. Since the Messiah Yeshua was also the presence of God on earth, Yeshua tabernacled among them like the light of the presence of God at the tabernacle in the desert. Yochanan describes Yeshua as a light. In John it says about Yeshua, in the NKJV, that he is, in verse 4, the light of men. In verse 5, the light shines. In verse 7, John bore witness to the light. In verse 9, the true light. In verse 9, the light to all. Therefore, we are a people of light who follow the light who shines, and a people who live in the light and look forward to the future kingdom of light. Yom Teruah is a picture of the trumpets blasting to announce our Messianic King Yeshua and his first coming, and is also the time of his subsequent return when the last trump is sounded. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52 NKJV says, "We shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." The next feasts also paint a picture by association. Yom Kippur, which follows 10 days later, is the day of confession of sins and of the future judgment. The Feast of Sukkot that follows Yom Kippur is a celebration and a picture of our future feast with God and Yeshua in the future kingdom. Yochanan is merely saying that Yeshua was the presence of God just as the Shekinah glory was the presence of God. Yeshua was born on Yom Teruah, the day of shouting when the angels were shouting for joy and the trumpets were blowing announcing our God and King. Sukkot is a picture of the future feast with God and the future kingdom of God where we will be in God's presence forever. During Sukkot, we should be reminded of the presence of God being with Israel and his provision in the desert after they were set free from Egypt. Believers have the presence of God in them through the Holy Spirit and look forward to being in God's presence. Believers in the Messiah should celebrate both God's provision, the giving of his Old Testament commandments, and the giving of his gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives us to help us. If you have not experienced the presence of God, first you must believe in the Messiah Yeshua and then you need to ask for the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit is still available to believers in this present era. Acts 2:38-39 NKJV says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' It is available to all who are afar off and to our children. We then are to welcome the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit does not mean we are saved, as some say. It is another helper, just like God's commandments in the Old Testament portion help us. John 14:15-17 NKJV says, 'If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth.' God's Old Testament commandments are the first helper, and the Holy Spirit is another helper. Also, Yeshua said in John 14:23 24 NKJV, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's who sent me.' In Matthew 7:23 NKJV, Yeshua said, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Yeshua will reject those who do not keep the law. Some say we do not have to keep the law. They are wrong. When I was a young believer, someone told me I could experience the Holy Spirit. As a believer in the Messiah Yeshua, all I had to do was get quiet and begin talking to God and I would experience the Holy Spirit. I did that and I felt a great peace come over me. We do not experience God in all the same ways, but we all can experience God. Israel experienced God for 40 years, day and night. God wants us to experience Him, so keep seeking Him and asking Him. God does not expect us to live a life of blind faith. Yeshua said in Luke 11:9 NKJV, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you, seek, and you will find." In the same context, a few verses later, we find out what we are to seek. Luke 11:13 NKJV says, "The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him." God gives believers in the Messiah Yeshua the Holy Spirit. There are various ways to celebrate the things God has given us and ways to celebrate His Holy Spirit. We often decorate and have fruit in our house. We will cut beautiful branches from species of trees similar to those in the Bible, but you may have to use other species depending on where you live. We celebrate with our branches by waving them. Making a ritual lulav is not a commandment of God. Judaism has a lot of man-made rituals that are not commanded by God. Isaiah 29:13 NKJV says, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." So those who follow traditions as though they are commandments of God are just following man-made ideas. The rabbis say their traditions keep them connected to being Jewish. Being connected to God is what is most important. Are not idols made by the hands of man? So these man-made commandments can become an idol. Also, for our celebration, we will set out a bowl of fruit. We often decorate our sukkah with vines and decorations. One year, our foster children cut out pictures of fruit and wrote the fruits of the Holy Spirit on them. Galatians 5:22-23 NKJV says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." The Holy Spirit helps us to do these things as we seek to do what is right. One year we put up our beach umbrella by our kitchen table and decorated it. You will not forget to celebrate the feast every day if you do some simple things inside your house. Perhaps eat some fruit every day and sing a song of thanks. Use your imagination and I am sure you can think of some great things to do and make some rituals of your own. Man-made rituals can add richness to our celebration, but they are not to be treated like God's commandments. People sometimes make up their own rules and treat them like God's rules. Colossians 2:8 NKJV says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men. The context in this chapter is about not making a law out of traditions. Verse 16 is about not judging others how they keep the traditions of God's feasts. Colossians 2:22 says, "Which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." That is the context. Shaul is not talking about not keeping God's feasts. He is talking about the problem of traditions that are made into God's commandments. Isaiah 29:13 NKJV says, "Their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." Sometimes people are just following what some man or woman made up. The feasts of God are God's feasts and not just Jewish feasts. Leviticus 23:2 NKJV says, "The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." All the early believers in Yeshua kept God's feasts. Shaul would never have taught people not to keep God's feasts. The context is about the traditions of men being treated like commandments of God. Context, context, context. Kephas said that people misinterpret Shaul to their damnation. 2 Peter 3:15-16 NKJV says, "Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." What are they untaught in? There was no New Testament at the time, so it must be the Old Testament scriptures. What destruction is he talking about? 2 Peter 2:17 NKJV says, "These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Do not follow these people to the lake of fire," see Revelation 21:8. For more information on Yom Kippur, see our teaching entitled, "The Messianic Feast of Sukkot," at https://www.tsuvaza.org/observing-the-feasts. Make appropriate barriers in life as needed to stay on track with God's commands. Decide ahead of time what you will do for Sukkot and be specific which rituals are commandments of God and which you are enjoying as a family. I think this is necessary because our temptation is to make man-made rituals into commandments. People make up things and say this is the way it must be done, but that is not always true. As long as you understand that you are doing a fun ritual and not a commandment of God, it is not wrong. Life is full of ritual. It is also important to know what is right and what is when and to have a plan on how we set barriers in life. If someone starts telling a sexual joke, we do not have to stay there and listen to it. Or we could just tell them we are not interested, please. Whatever we do in life, we need to have a plan. Some people have joy in knowing they said something to you that you do not approve of. That is the way of the world. You do not have to react. Have a plan. Have a plan for the things you do in life. If you have the chance to fellowship with someone of the other sex, decide you will not be alone with them. If you are married, have your spouse come along or instead, have your spouse speak to them. You could have someone nearby while you speak to them. That is one way to address this issue. How will we do our job? Besides the fact that we are representing ourselves, whether someone is around or not, we should work hard and do good work. We may never get a raise or the credit that is due us, but that is the honest way to live. We are the ones that agree to the wage we get. Colossians 3:23-24 NKJV, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." We serve the Messiah, we live for the Messiah, and we are to do what the Messiah taught us and to imitate the Messiah. Shaul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1 NKJV, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. And be thankful." I used to work for the president of my company, and I would go into his office at times and thank him for my job. Thank you, spouse, your children, your co-workers, your friends, and most of all, thank God. The works of God are amazing. There is no limit to what God can do. I remember the first time I went to Manhattan Island and looked down the street with buildings that seemed to block the sun on each side of me. I had trouble picking up my radio station because the buildings were blocking my signal. God is the creator, imagine what he is able to build. I asked my daughter what she would like to see God do when we get to the future kingdom. God can do what he wants. Perhaps he'll have a giant meteor shower over the entire sky, better and bigger than the great Leonid showers where tens of thousands of meteors fell per hour. Or God could send a parade of planets past the Earth for us to enjoy, or birds, or quilts, or animals. You get the idea. The ideas are countless, but just being in the future kingdom will probably be amazing enough. Yohanan said he saw the future Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and then he describes it. Now, that must have been something. Revelation 21:10-11 NKJV, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. We know he saw it because he goes into detail about what he saw. Revelation 21:19-20 NKJV says, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. We have so much to be thankful for. A God that keeps the world habitable. A God who created ways for us to have food, shelter, clothing, friends, family, and so much more. We have a God who provided his word to give us wisdom and understanding. Just in case you forgot, Deuteronomy 4:6 NKJV says, therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. He gave us his commandments that are filled with wisdom and understanding. God is a God who provides the Holy Spirit to help us, see John 15:26, so we can have fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3-4 CJB says, what we have seen and heard, we are proclaiming to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Isn't that amazing? We should be full of joy. There are many ways we can celebrate Sukkot. Just remember to follow the ritual God commands and have fun with your personal traditions. Do not turn traditions into commandments. That is wrong. We need to set up barriers to worldly things so we can manage them. God is amazing. God is so good to us. Let us have joy during this holiday and for the blessings of life, for God's commandments, and for the Holy Spirit. Psalm 118:1 says, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good. His mercy is forever. In closing, let us say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:24-26. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his face upon you and give to you peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.